Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Wage Labor and Capital and Value, Price and Profit brings together two of Karl Marx's most accessible economic writings, originally delivered as lectures and pamphlets for working-class audiences. In clear, polemical language, Marx explains how capitalist production organizes work, wages, and profit, and why workers can be exploited even when paid for every hour they labor. The first text concentrates on wage labor as a social relation, showing how the worker sells labor power to the owner of capital, and how competition and market pressures shape wages. The second addresses a practical debate inside the labor movement, arguing that wage increases are not pointless and that the struggle over wages matters, while also clarifying why wage struggles alone cannot end exploitation. Read together, these essays offer a compact entry point into Marx's core concepts, including capital accumulation, surplus value, and the distinction between appearance and underlying economic relations. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, wage labor is a social relation, not just a paycheck. A central topic in these writings is that wage labor is more than an exchange of work for money. Marx frames it as a social relationship in which a person without productive property must sell labor power to someone who owns capital and controls the means of production. This dependence shapes everyday life. The wage seems like the price of work, yet it is actually the payment for the worker's capacity to labor for a period of time. That distinction matters because it explains how a worker can be paid according to an agreed rate and still produce more value than the wage received. Marx also emphasizes the role of competition among workers, which can pressure wages downward, and the broader market forces that make employment insecure. By treating wage labor as a structural arrangement rather than an individual bargain, the essays encourage readers to see recurring patterns behind personal experiences of job searching, pay negotiations, and workplace discipline. This lens helps explain why different employers can behave similarly even without colluding, because they respond to shared incentives built into the system. The topic establishes the basic framework for the later discussion of profit, showing that the wage contract can be legally fair while still reproducing inequality. Secondly, capital accumulation and how growth can deepen dependence. Marx describes capital not as a pile of money, but as value that seeks expansion through production. In this view, capital is a process. Investment in labor and materials is made with the aim of returning more value than was advanced. The essays highlight how accumulation changes the balance between classes. When capital expands, it can increase productivity through machinery and organization, yet that very progress can intensify workers' dependence by concentrating ownership and decision-making. Marx links this to the creation of a reserve of unemployed or underemployed workers, which can weaken bargaining power and stabilize conditions for profits. He also connects accumulation with cycles of boom and contraction, where workers may experience wage pressure, layoffs, or longer hours even as social wealth rises. A key point is that the benefits of productivity improvements do not automatically flow to labor. They can appear as cheaper goods or higher output, while the distribution of gains remains skewed. This topic clarifies why economic growth alone does not guarantee better living standards for all, and why the employment relationship remains central. It also prepares the ground for understanding the source of profit. It is not explained by mere buying and selling, but by production organized under capital's command. Thirdly, value and the difference between appearance and underlying mechanics. Value, price, and profit is especially focused on clearing up confusion between value and price. Marx argues that market prices fluctuate, but they are not arbitrary. They move around underlying conditions of production and social labor. By separating value from its changing price expression, he can explain why profit is not simply a result of selling above a supposed true price. If profit were only a matter of cheating in exchange, gains for one seller would cancel out with losses for buyers, and the system as a whole could not generate a general profit. Instead, Marx points readers toward the production process, where labor creates new value. The wage is treated as the price of labor power, not the full value created during the working day. This topic also addresses common objections, such as the claim that if wages rise, then prices must rise by the same amount. Marx counters by analyzing how different industries, productivity levels, and competitive pressures complicate the past through story and how profits can be squeezed rather than automatically shifted onto consumers. The result is a framework for interpreting everyday economic claims. It trains readers to ask whether an argument is about surface movements in prices or about the deeper relations that shape them. Fourthly, surplus value as the core explanation of profit. Across both texts, Marx builds toward the idea that profit is rooted in surplus labor and surplus value. The worker sells labor power for a wage that corresponds to the cost of maintaining and reproducing that capacity to work in a given society. Once hired, the worker can produce value beyond that cost during the working day. The difference between the value created and the wage paid is the source from which profit, interest, and other forms of capitalist income are drawn. Marx treats this as an objective mechanism rather than a moral accusation about individual employers, although the moral implications are clear. Capital can increase surplus value by lengthening the working day, intensifying labor, reorganizing production, or raising productivity so that the necessary portion of the day shrinks relative to the surplus portion. And by focusing on time, output, and the organization of work, Marx offers an explanation of why management practices often aim to measure performance, speed up tasks, and standardize processes. The concept provides a unified account of exploitation that does not depend on overt coercion. It shows how the ordinary wage contract can systematically generate profit through production itself. Lastly, trade unions, wage struggles, and the limits of reform inside capitalism, a distinctive contribution of value, price, and profit, is its intervention in a practical dispute about whether workers should fight for higher wages. Marx argues that wage struggles are necessary and rational because wages are not fixed by nature. Organization can resist downward pressure, defend living standards, and win real improvements. At the same time, he insists that such victories do not abolish the wage system. Because the underlying relation remains intact, gains can be offset by changes in employment, productivity, or the distribution of surplus between wages and profits over time. Marx therefore positions trade unions as vital schools of collective action and solidarity, while warning against treating them as a final solution. This topic is also about political education. Wage debates can either trap workers in a narrow view of individual bargaining or push them toward understanding class interests and systemic change. Marx emphasizes that reforms matter, but they occur within constraints set by ownership and control of production. Readers can use this framework to evaluate modern debates about minimum wages, collective bargaining, and cost of living adjustments. The topic encourages a both and approach fight for immediate improvements while recognizing the broader structures that shape what is possible in the long run. In conclusion, this combined edition is best suited for readers who want a direct, foundational introduction to Marx's critique of capitalism without starting with a longer, more technical work. Workers, union members, organizers, students, and anyone trying to make sense of wages, inflation debates, and corporate profits will find the arguments especially relevant. The book can benefit a reader's life by sharpening economic literacy. It provides tools to distinguish price changes from deeper production relations, to understand why pay can lag behind productivity, and to evaluate claims that wage increases are automatically harmful. It also offers a practical perspective on collective action, explaining why everyday workplace struggles matter while clarifying their limits. Compared to many contemporary books on inequality that focus mainly on policy outcomes or personal finance, these essays concentrate on the mechanics of production and the wage relation itself, giving readers a structural explanation that connects workplace experience to broader economic dynamics. The writing is designed for public understanding, which makes it more approachable than Marx's larger works and more conceptually rigorous than many simplified summaries. For buyers looking for a compact, high-impact classic that still informs modern debates, it remains a strong and worthwhile choice. If you would like to support Karl Marx, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.